Hey beautiful souls, so welcome back for another transmission on this eclipse season. In this episode I'm gonna focus on the solar eclipse that is happening tomorrow in Aries. This is the second and the last one in this first eclipse season of the year. Also, I want to say that you might hear some drumming sounds in the background. Well, it's Balinese New Year. And yeah, there's celebrations happening today. And then tomorrow, very beautiful, aligned with the eclipse. It's the silent day in Bali, where all the island goes silent. And there's no lights, electricity. And it's just like literally a time for rest and reflection and meditation. So yeah, but today the ceremonies and the festivities are going on. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening on the island. Yeah, so let's go into the eclipse season, right? So eclipses are very chaotic events that usually disrupt the status quo, but also give us the opportunity to pivot into a new timeline. And like I was mentioning the previous episode, I always see eclipses as this like fast moving film strip of life that suddenly pauses, and then there's the cut, and then a new roll of film is pasted. So basically we're stepping into a new timeline. That's why I always see eclipses as very, very intense cosmic portals that we're not asked to do things, you know, like, so it's not your usual new moon or full moon. These are very intense energies. So what is called for us is more to cultivate a space of receiving, you know, so not that as much as like doing, but more like being. So I always like to just be, meditate, reflect, fast, all of these things during an eclipse. So yeah, each eclipse is basically a celestial event where these major unconscious patterns happening in our lives are being addressed, downloads received, epiphanies, a lot of things can happen. There's also when we receive strong energetic upgrades, and it's always a good idea to look in your chart and see where the eclipse is happening, which area of your life based on the house that is highlighted, and then yeah, moving forward, as these eclipses work in 6 month cycle, so over the next 6 months, like, notice the changes that are happening or that are taking place in that area of your life. And so like I was mentioning in the previous episode, eclipses are portals of destiny that open when the sun and the moon specifically align with the lunar nodes, so the south node of the moon and the north node of the moon. And this happens twice a year. And in total there are four eclipses, so two every season. So there's two seasons of eclipses, four eclipses in total. We have two lunar eclipses that happen on full moons, so when the earth is between the sun and the moon, and then two solar eclipses that happen in the at the new moons, when the moon is between the sun and the earth. So basically, as this eclipse tomorrow is a solar eclipse, so it's the new moon in Aries. It's also a partial eclipse. This depends on the degree of separation between the lunar nodes and the sun and the moon conjunction. So the closer they get to the lunar nodes, the more total the eclipse is. This one is a little bit far, so it's quite it's just a partial eclipse. Very strong though. So I was saying it's a new moon energy. It holds this new moon initiation frequency where we're planting a seed, so starting of a new cycle. But also because it's in Aries and the lunar nodes have been in Aries and Libra from 2023 to this year when they switched to Pisces and Virgo. So this is the last eclipse that we have in Aries for another 18 years. So in that sense, this also holds the frequency of an ending, a culmination, a final push to clear and activate and upgrade this area of your life where the conversation has been taking place in Aries and Libra. So it's a very, very, very important eclipse in this sense. And also, what I wanted to say is that, well, during a solar eclipse, like I was mentioning, the Earth is the Moon is between the Earth and the Sun, so basically the Moon is obscuring the light of the Sun. The Sun is the clarity, it's the direction, and then so. Or the light that we radiate out there, and then the Moon is our emotions. So that means that the unconscious is basically restricting our clarity, our direction, our free will, and thus the energy is very stirred up, you know. So that's why this is a time to surrender and not force, you know. It's also a time where emotions might be very heightened. Basically, let's just get into talking a little bit about Aries, a few sentences as this eclipse happens in Aries. So, what is Aries? So Aries is the first of the zodiac, is the child of the zodiac, is the beginning, the spark that lights the fire. It's also the first fire sign. Aries is the heart, the first heartbeat, the first breath of spirit into the matter, is the emergence, is the unfiltered self, the genesis point, the inception point, you know. It also marks the start of the astrological new year, and the zero point Aries is the equinox, you know, when the balancing of the lights. So after the merging into the infinite ocean of Pisces at the end of the zodiac, then Aries is the I am, right? The emergence of the new self, that desire to individuate and experience life, reality through the lenses of an individualized self. So in that sense, when we think about the qualities, Aries is primal, intense, instinctual. Aries is enthusiastic, bold, assertive. It always seeks new challenges. It desires to experience, to do things, to push the limits with a deep desire to, yeah, experience reality. Aries teaches us that healthy initiative is an important part of our soul's evolution. You know, Aries symbolizes the masculine aspect in all of us. It's ruled by Mars, a very fiery planet that it represents our conscious desires and how we assert our will and go about actualizing our desires. So Mars is the assertive function of our psyche. Aries also sets boundaries, you know, with this I am. Aries takes up space in the world. Aries cultivates authenticity and independence. And when we think about authenticity, authenticity is the highest value and the highest gift that we can bring into this world. This is what is always required of us. Authenticity, to be the most authentic we that we can be. So Aries is this part of us that seeks and desires to be authentic, to be bold, and to be independent. So wherever you have Aries in your house, in your chart, whichever house is ruled by Aries, is the house that, or the area of your life that is asking you to cultivate freedom, independence, and to follow your instincts, your intuition, and to take action, to take initiative, to not wait for validation. And in our biology, Aries rules the head. So that shows Aries as an ambitious visionary that leads the way. You know, Aries, when you think about the psychic qualities is a clairvoyant. It's able to intuit, to see new paths. Also fire, you know, and fire is about intuition. When we think about the psychic functions, fire is associated with the function of intuition. So Aries's challenge is then to act on this impulse and intuition without waiting for validation, getting lost into like planning or other stuff. Aries people are pioneers and they're here to inspire and lead, you know, this is the role of the fire. But for this, they must conquer the fear, because this is one of the big shadows of Aries, that fear of taking action, that fear of how is it going to be perceived. So this is the part of the sacred warrior. And now when we think about this eclipse and this new moon, this new cycle that is initiated in Aries, well, the themes would be this: owning our desires, setting our boundaries, initiation, willpower, taking a line action, shifting from, you know, hustling mentality to coherence and flow, to patience, to releasing the frustration, to always have the answers and to keep moving, and then to trust divine timing, to re-examine our motives, and then release those fears, self-doubt that freezes us from taking action. And so also eclipses can be north node or south node eclipse, you know, where depending on which one of the nodes the sun and the moon conjunction conjuncts also. So this one, since the nodes are in Pisces, near the eclipse that is happening in Aries, so this is a north node eclipse. The north node is in Pisces, sorry, and the south node is in Virgo. So here we see a little bit of an interesting dynamic between the fiery Aries and the north node, which happens to be in a water sign, the watery Pisces. I mean, Aries and Pisces couldn't be more dynamically opposite. Pisces is the oneness and Aries is the self, and then also fire and water are very opposite, you know? So the water asks for surrender, for trust, for flow, and it's also putting the fires out. Fire asks for action and speed and clarity. So here we are walking through very uncharted terrain, and we might not understand yet what is being asked of us, and that keeps building frustration. And this is also emphasized by the two retrogrades that are happening right now, with both Venus and Mercury being retrograde. Venus is the principle of love, self-worth, resources, aesthetics, relationships, our bodies. And then Mercury is really the mind, is how we communicate, is how we receive and express information. So both of these planets being retrograde always invites a period of slowing down, of reflection, of reframing that relationship with that particular archetype. So that's why retrogrades usually bring about a period of uncertainty and lack of clarity. But Aries is this energy that wants clarity, that wants to move, wants to do things. So that's why the frustration can sometimes show up, because you feel deep down this desire to initiate, to take action, but then you don't know where. There's no direction. There is also, because of the retrogrades, have this element of the past where things come to the surface. There can also be the potential of old patterns that come to surface. And yeah, this can bring discomfort, and again can be frustration as well, emotional, like heightened emotions. But you know, this is a great time actually to make new choices when we find ourselves in these old patterns, you know. This element of addiction is like making the same choices over and over again, finding ourselves on that wheel, right, spinning. So this is the moment when you can meet those challenging circumstances in a different way, and that different way is through awareness and then through acceptance and then pivoting by making a new decision, a new choice. So that's why I always feel like retrogrades are blessings, because they show us where we've been stuck through these repeating patterns. So they give us a choice to shed awareness onto these and then step into a new version of ourselves. And also, when we think about the North Node ruler in Pisces is Neptune, and it so happens that Neptune is literally moving into Aries the next day after the eclipse. And this is one of the biggest transits of our generation. Neptune is a very slow moving planet. It defines generations. So this eclipse, that day specifically, is also this test of faith before that fog of illusion clears and then clarity starts to take shape as Neptune. Neptune is very liminal. It can bring a lot of disillusion, but it's also the planet of dreams, and it's also the planet that helps dissolve those boundaries. So when it moves into Aries, it's like it starts to take shape, you know? And it starts to dissolve all that confusion. And also when we think about the ruler of the eclipse itself, Mars is, because Mars is the ruler of Aries. So Mars is still in its fall sign in Cancer, in the shadow of the retrograde. So it's been retrograde, now it is direct, but it's in that shadow period. So this can also bring up feelings of dissatisfaction with how things are and a lot of frustration for that lack of speed and energy, because Mars, as I was saying, is fire. It likes to move, whereas Cancer, it's water. Cancer likes to take its time. Cancer is up and down. It's not straight, you know. It's spiralic. Mars doesn't like that. That's why Mars is in its fall in Cancer. And so it's important to cultivate this patience and allow the recalibrations of this eclipse season. The last one was in Virgo, at the full moon. And so allow these integrations to really integrate before taking any action, before having that clarity. And this is a very important lesson here, to not take action from a place of rush and urgency, you know, but to wait for the aligned timing and to trust that your body knows, your soul knows, your heart knows. So listen to it, you know. Process what needs to be processed first. Especially with all this water. All this water during the eclipse. With the North Node in water, with Mars in a water sign. Water really invites us to allow ourselves to feel, to meditate, to reflect, to grieve, to be able to make that space. And feeling overwhelmed, and to withdraw, be by yourself. Water really needs to feel in real time. When it comes to Cancer as well, it needs to let go of the past to make space. How do we do that? Is through forgiveness, compassion. It also asks us to stay in silence, to accept our state, to accept our humanity, you know, the ups and downs, because we are emotional beings. To be reflective, to be still, to surrender. That's why I was saying this eclipse is perfectly aligned with this silent day here in Bali. I feel like it's exactly how all this water wants to be worked with, to be attuned to. When we think about the attunement to the eclipse, I was saying to cultivate presence. This is the most important, being and not doing, surrendering to be able to receive these energetic upgrades. And then nervous system regulation. If you find yourself too in the mind, like going from place to place, focus on self-care, you know, like regulate your nervous system through breath work, through meditation, through grounding. If you have the option to go out in nature, walk barefoot, stay near a tree, go into water, give yourself mental rest, take some space from work, from activities that take a lot of energy from you. Obviously, if you have this available to you. And also, if it's possible, do not make big life decisions. You know, you might feel pulled in different directions and you might feel like, okay, I need to decide something. Well, if it's something that really needs your decision and in that moment, then sure, trust your intuition. But I always feel like, your intuition is your compass, and I would always trust my intuition over any facts. But if it's not something that needs to be done in that moment, I would say then maybe wait this cosmic energy to move through, and then have that clarity and do it from a place of more grounding and emotional stability. So when we think about healing, this energy of the fiery Aries, cardinal fire, so Aries is of the cardinal modality, which means the initiation. So Aries asks us to express anger in a healthy way. You know, fire is often associated with anger. And anger is a very beautiful emotion. It shows us where our boundaries have been crossed. So expressing anger in a healthy way, moving the energy. Fire always asks the energy to move, you know. It doesn't like to be still. Same as water. To take up space in the world, take new risks, especially when something calls to you intuitively. Cultivate the freedom to express yourself. It's very important to be bold, you know, to speak your truth, to let go of the fear of suppression or being wrong. It's like you are here to take up your space. It's your birthright. Be fearless, be honest. With the fire, it's very important to be honest, you know, to stand up for yourself unapologetically. Be a catalyst for change. Fire really is the symbol of change, right? Things burn, and then from those ashes, things start anew. So be a catalyst for change. Learn when to say no. Fire can be aggressive sometimes, can burn too much. So learn when enough is enough. Also have the courage to go against the norms. Learn to be focused, because fire can be erratic and go in all directions. Release blame, trust your intuition. And because of Aries is this I am, and the shadow of Aries is on the other side of the axis, you know, like where we give our power away. So it's important to not only see the beauty in others, but see the beauty within yourself and shift from external validation to internal validation. When we think about some of the shadows of Aries, can be arrogant, deceptive, impatient, reckless, sometimes violent, can burn too hot and then extinguish very quick, can be overly impulsive, reactive, you know, egocentric, dominant, aggressive, short tempered, lacking in caution. And like always, astrology is about balance, and we always work with the whole axis. So the polar opposite of Aries is Libra. So when we think about any imbalance in Aries, the balance is found in Libra. And Libra shifts us from this primal instinct to the awareness of another and the appreciation of this interconnectedness, the beauty that everyone brings. It's also an air sign, so it invites direct communication, harmony, right? Balance. Realizing that we're all navigating the same fears, the same thing. So it helps us to understand one another and to understand ourselves in the context of all human beings of the collective. So it's important to contemplate on these aspects of Aries and the house that Aries occupies in your chart. And I'll go over quick over the horoscope for each of the signs based on the whole sign system. But I want to mention a little bit also about the gene keys, as it's a system that I work with very dearly. So in the gene keys, this eclipse happens in the 17th key. And the 17th is a very interesting one. It's in human design is at the Ajna center, so the mind. In the gene keys is called the eye. And this whole gene key is about opening of the third eye, you know, by overcoming limitations of the mind. It's the transformation from the shadow of opinion to the gift of farsightedness, and then the city of omniscience. So in the gene keys mentions how this the third eye opens when basically the sun arises, and that sun is representative of the heart. The heart opens, the heart has bloomed, and then the eye can open, because we're not seeing things from the mind anymore. In our physical eyes, we're seeing things from the heart, and the heart is all encompassing. So hence why the third eye, which is all encompassing, it becomes active. And this key is also, it's part of the codon ring of humanity. These are very interesting, the codon rings. And the ring of humanity, it's a very important one. It's also a very complex one, has six keys in it. And the whole journey is a journey of healing the sacred wound or the heart of humanity, which is basically the reason for all our suffering. And each key here in this ring represents an archetype that illustrates what it means to be human. So basically in the 25th we have this so it starts with the 25th, right, where we become aware and we accept our woundings. Then in the 38th we battle our shadows. Then we overcome these limitations of the mind. In the 17, we surrender our control, the need to control life. In the 21st, we find our true self. In the 10th, and then we awaken in the 51. So you see this whole journey of healing this wound of humanity. And so speaking strictly about the 17th, the shadow level, is the mind. So this shadow of opinion is the mind that is based only on logic, and he only sees differences, he only sees flaws in everything. And so this leads to comparing with others. This is what opinion does, and also judgment toward others, because opinion is fixed and it's very one-sided, you know. And basically, opinion is the first stage of denial of how things actually are, because truth is always flexible and truth is all-encompassing. Truth can never be achieved completely unless we put together everyone's truth, all people. So this is why opinion always leads to separation. And why to open to the gift of farsightedness, which is pretty self-explanatory, it requires us to expand the mind into seeing this bigger picture. And this is also interesting because the North Node, as I was saying, is in Pisces. And Pisces really is seeing the bigger picture. It's co-ruled by Neptune in Jupiter. When we think about Jupiter, is the biggest planet in the solar system. It is also the planet of belief, of trust and surrender, as is Neptune. And Neptune has this spiritual dimension to it, this ethereal dimension to it. But yeah, with the North Node in Pisces, we are asked to zoom out of, you know, the details, the seeing the microscopic, like in Virgo, in the South Node, but then seeing the big picture, as in the all-encompassing truth. In Pisces, logic basically defeats itself, and the only answer to all the seeking, to all the inquiry, the questions, is complete surrender. It's like all seeking leads to surrender. And basically, I was writing this when I was writing about Pisces Virgo, that this insatiable hunger of the logical mind basically can only be satiated through the one answer that defies logic, which is surrender. So again, when opinion is transcended, then and only then can the third eye be open. And we don't see from the mind anymore, we see from the heart. And this is basically the highest expression of Aries, you know, the sacred warrior that has an open heart and holds the sword with love. That visionary, the seer that can see the future, intuit it, and then lead the way towards that. So this is seeing with clarity, seeing all the working parts and then all possible solutions for expansion and improvement, basically. So contemplate. Are you holding on to any opinion? What is your opinion? And is your current opinion serving you or blocking you from growth and connecting with others? How can you let go of judgment on other people's opinions? What is calling you to move forward? What is calling you to initiate next? Also, are you making space for new energy that wants to move through you? Are you taking the leaps of faith without waiting for proof? Are you trusting your intuition? These are all good contemplations, regardless of where is Aries in your house. But yeah, I would love to maybe close with this little horoscope. Just a couple of words on each rising sign. So I like to use the whole sign system. So then the rising sign is the first house, and from there each house is associated with one sign. This is the system that works best for me. And so using this, but you can also read for your sun if you want, and just, yeah, follow your intuition, see what resonates with you. But basically, what is asked of you in what area of your life is being highlighted during this eclipse and basically all of Aries season, as this happens in Aries. So if your Aries rising, this would be the first house in your chart. So it's all about self-expression, relationship to your body, your self-image, your vitality, the courage to take initiative, to trust your guts, to have patience. As I was saying, this is not your average Aries season with two eclipses and two retrogrades and Mars in Cancer. It's a very slow pace season. So yeah, have patience. It's a lesson to learn to not rush the process, but trust that everything unfolds in divine timing. Then if your Taurus rising, this happens in your 12th house. So learn to let go of things that do not align. Also learn to let go if you're dealing with any sort of loss, with things not working out. Focus on dreams. 12th house is very associated with the liminal space. Reflection, meditation, spending time alone, recharging. So with Neptune entering your 12th house, just the day after the eclipse, there is very, very strong spiritual energy in your life. And this house is very active. So expect the veil to be very thin. So any sort of work you do there, yeah, be mindful. Gemini rising, this is your 11th house, so house of community, friends, beliefs and feelings of belonging, relationships to your audience. And yeah, watch your energy levels when you're around groups of people. You're also your relationship with the boundaries in your community. For Cancer rising, it's a big one as well. It's about your career, your public life. So expect those boundaries around what you feel capable of achieving, of believing, about your work and your career to start dissolving. Look how you can imbue your work with more creativity. Neptune is also the planet of creativity, and bring more imagination, art in your work. For Leo rising, this is your ninth house, so your belief system, philosophy of life, travel, higher learning. Also be open to new experiences, immersing yourself into different cultures if it so happens. Examine your relationship to the spiritual aspect of your life and to your belief in a higher power. Virgo rising, this is your eighth house, so everything about shared resources, values, intimacy, can be also sexuality, trust issues, anything that has to do with like power dynamics in your relationship, psychic experiences, shadow work. Bring awareness to any discomfort, because unconscious patterns might come to the surface, as this is a very watery, hidden, shadowy house. Libra rising, this is the opposite of Aries, so it's going to be your house of relationship, partnerships. Also because of Aries is individuality, here you learn to cultivate more autonomy, care for your own needs, fill your own cup in relationships and not get lost in them. Scorpio rising, this is your sixth house, physical health, your daily routine, habits, the way you stay organized, basically your day-to-day life, and your sense of service towards others. So be mindful of serving from a filled cup again. Prioritize your health and create routines that support your growth. Sagittarius rising is going to be your fifth house, so very nice one. It's about creativity, pleasure, play, romance. It can also be sex life, dating. It's a good time to examine your relationship to pleasure, play, also any inner child wounds that might come to surface. Just meet them with compassion, forgiveness, love, cultivate more space for play in your life. Capricorn rising, this is about your family, your home. This is also about any root system in your life. So re-examine how you feel at home, if it provides you the safety, security that you need. If not, just change some things around. Also, it's a good opportunity to get in touch with your family, see if any feelings, anything arises there. For Aquarius rising, it's your third house, so your relationship to your siblings, to your close community, your close friends. It's also about learning, communication, writing, self-expression. So examine how you communicate with others. Prioritize listening. And lastly, for Pisces rising, this is your second house. So I'm Pisces rising. This is also like my area. Aries rules my second house. So for us is the relationship that we have to money, resources, self-worth, time. It's also how do we transform our skills into money through these lenses of our self-worth. And also it's a good time to slow down, learn to have patience, cultivate more trust in ourselves, and re-examine our value systems. So yeah, this would be all for tomorrow's eclipse. I hope you all navigate this time with ease and grace. And yeah, cultivate more presence in your life. As always, if you need support, my calendar is open for April, so do get in touch or book a session through the website. I do astrology readings that are focused on like evolutionary astrology mixed with my intuitive guidance. But I also do astrology mixed with gene keys. So this is a very intuitive session where we blend both the wisdom of your natal chart and your gene keys hologenetic profile and look at what are the important things to be aware of in your life for growth and expansion. And also a very accessible, affordable offering is the recorded reading. So I do around 30-minute voice audio recording of me looking at your chart and then channeling what I feel like is the most important things to be aware of in your life or your evolution or your growth. And yeah, this is also like a gift that keeps on giving. It's very accessible as we don't need to meet live, and you can re-listen to it over and over again, and every time get more in depth and get more insight. So yeah, that will be my offerings. Again, I send all of you much love, and yeah, let's hear each other soon.